you know someone struggling with the unrecognizable consequences of sin, such as guilt, shame, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness? It may be unrecognizable to them, but you see it clearly. Do you want to help the person be set free? Knowledge is the beginning of freedom, and that's the topic of today's podcast. So listen in.
Hi, I'm Matt, the Development Coordinator for the Truth and Hope Foundation in Sofia, Bulgaria.
And I'm Cherie Frizonki, the author of the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum.
This episode of Go in Peace is brought to you by listeners, supporters, and friends of our ministry.
If you want to follow along in the discussion, purchase the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum from the links provided. It's going to make what we talk about a bit more understandable. But if you don't have it, no worries, you're still benefit by listening.
Episode 2.3. Today in our podcast, we're discussing Session 2, Page 15, Section Heading, The Consequences of Sin.
So we just looked over and read the session on the consequences of sin, pages 15 and 16. And one of the main points in that section of the curriculum, it talks about what happens as a result of the hurt and pain that we have in our heart. And one of the things that I always am repeating, especially when I'm training leaders, is that hurt not handled in the manner that God intended will turn to anger. Anger over time will turn into bitterness, and bitterness will turn into a bitter poison that infects our whole life. And it's this infection that's fueling whatever the person's struggling with, whether it's depression, anxiety, outbursts of anger, or any of the other things, that drugs, alcohol, bulimia, anorexia. It's this infection that's fueling that behavior.
One thing that I thought was really cool just off the bat was your first underlined word was shame. And I think that, like, you know, it's just very important for all Christians to understand that we all really have to have that. If we don't have shame, then we're not going to come to Jesus' feet. You know, and I think that sometimes that can be skipped in today's gospel message or one of our kind of requirements to be meeting Jesus with. But I think that that's totally crucial. And I think that's why even Jesus kind of explains in this scenario that this sinful woman was actually the one in the right. You know, and I always try and think of myself and what I'm doing in life, realizing, okay, if Jesus was here, would I be the one that he's correcting, or would I be the one that he's permitting? You know, and so it was good to see that, and to see that that's one of the underlying words, because it's really crucial.
Yeah, and I think so much today, so many people are trying to just ignore shame in their life or guilt in their life, and they don't like anything that makes them feel shameful or anything that makes them feel guilty, and they just want to keep living their life doing what they're doing. And that's why so many people push their sin on other people, because it helps justify what they're feeling. But there's a really cool verse that I love about shame, and it's in Psalms 83:16, and it says, "Cover their faces with shame so that men will seek your name, O Lord." And so God's word tells us right there that shame, in a sense, is a good thing, because it's what can bring us to God, you know? And so when we try to mask all of these, what I call consequences of sin, when we try to mask them in our life, whether it's guilt, whether it's shame, whether it's whatever, and sometimes we mask it with drugs and alcohol, we're really just prolonging what God wants to do in our life. Mm-hmm. Where instead, if we just would run to him and just, especially when we're shameful or guilty about something, we just run to him and kneel at his feet, then he's just amazing. And he'll help to do that deep heart work. He'll start to do that deep heart work in our life and just start to change us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, how do you actually, because you've been, you know, taking people through this curriculum for a while, and I'm sure that you've taken a lot of people through it that have had sin against them, or have had been sinned against,
right,
like in this story here. Or not in the story, but
just an example of like rape or abuse.
Totally, yeah. So how do you then get somebody to understand, you know, that was not their fault, which I'm sure that they could agree with and get through or get past. Mm-hmm. But how do you then get them to understand that their actions, though, based on that, or whatever they're doing, whether they're holding on to this anger or unforgiveness, how do you get them to then acknowledge that that then is their responsibility that they need to deal with?
Right. Really good question. Because, you know, in the case of like rape or abuse, that person was sinned against. It was something that was out of their control. And so a lot of women will be like, what do you mean I'm responsible for some of the stuff that's going on in my life, the depression or the anxiety or the rage or whatever? And the Lord just really showed me early on is when did, because I would ask him that, I'm like, Lord, why do I see the same consequences in a woman's life who she's been sinned against? She didn't choose a sin like I chose abortion, and I can understand where my consequences were coming from once I started learning all of this. But for somebody who is sinned against, how is she responsible for this? And the Lord put on my heart, when did the sin first enter her heart over this issue? Yes, she was sinned against, but did she run to the Lord and give him all that hurt and pain? She might have ran to the Lord, but she still might have held on to her hurt and pain. Now, sometimes when we're mad at somebody, anger can feel really good. You can go, you know, they deserve my anger,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, or I deserve to be angry.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And so that anger can feel good for a while. And so we don't want to let that go. And so when we hold on to that stuff and we don't let it go, that's where it becomes sin. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold, is what verse 27 then says. And so it says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, it doesn't say we can't be angry. God created us to have emotions, and he knows that we're going to be angry at times. But it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down. And so what the Lord is saying is he doesn't want us to hold on to that anger, because he knows that as we hold on to anger, that anger is going to turn into bitterness, and it's going to turn into unforgiveness. And that's what is affecting our life. And so that's what we have to teach a person to let go of. And I always say knowledge is the beginning of freedom. And so it's important for them to first recognize, even though I hate to give them this part at first, I'd like to get to the good part of the message, right? And how they can be set free. Knowledge really is the beginning of freedom. And if they're not recognizing in their own life that they're responsible for some of the things that are going on, it's not just this victim mentality that this person did this to me, but that they have a responsibility there of how they reacted to being sinned against, then that's where once that light bulb goes on and goes, okay, I can recognize that I'm holding on to anger. I can recognize that I'm holding on to unforgiveness. Now we can work with that person and help them in a tangible way give that hurt and pain to the Lord so that they can be set free.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it kind of seems like that is the key to that, you know, and I've always been trying to understand, you know, the enemy's schemes on, in, or, you know, tactics in our life. And it's not, you know, I always tell people, it's not that we just become Satan worshipers, but it's that we just become deceived.
Right.
And if Satan can deceive us to see that the key to unlocking that freedom from those feelings of depression or anxiety or anger or whatever is to acknowledge, you know, maybe the our own things that you're just speaking of, and he's going to mask that. He's going to tell you, no, you, that's not it. Don't go there. You don't need to go there. You don't need to give that part of your heart to God. That's yours to hold on to. You keep that, and then just realize that it's, you know, what's going on today in your life is everybody else's problem.
Right.
You know, and it's just deception.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad, but you know, sometimes I would assume, you know, I haven't been through something so traumatic like that, but if that was it, I could imagine that it would be hard, though, to acknowledge and pick up that key, realizing that that is it to unlock our hearts for Christ.
Right.
And so I'm not, you know, saying that it's an easy thing to do,
right.
But if it's the only thing to do, right, then Satan's going to try and keep us from doing it.
Right. And a lot of women, they recognize that, or even a guy, I've counseled guys who have been sexually molested as a child, and a lot of times, especially if that attack just came out of nowhere, okay, that person can understand the concept that they were sinned against. But some people, they get caught up in, well, if I hadn't gone there, this wouldn't have happened. or and they feel part of the responsibility for mm-hmm. it. Or I was a friend of that person. Mm-hmm. I trusted that person. I never knew that that person would do this. They are not responsible mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. Even if they were a friend, even if they went out on a date and then they got date rape, they're not responsible mm-hmm. for the sinful actions of that yeah. person. But they are responsible for how they handled it within the depths of their heart. Mm-hmm. And Psalms 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." And so that's one of the key verses in this curriculum, is teaching a person how to practically look at the offensive way that is in them so that they can then give it to the Lord. And really, when those steps take place in a person's life where they recognize it and then give it to the Lord, that's where the freedom from all these consequences we're going to be talking about in the next few podcasts, that's where the freedom is going to come from, when they actually let go and are set free from that. It's amazing. I've watched people's lives just transform.
So would you say it's also deception to then be believing that that action, that that sin that was against you, to then to own it as your own? Because then you're, are you saying that you're then thinking that you have to then wear this guilt?
Some people do. Yeah. Some people, they put on this like cloak of victim mentality. Like, mm-hmm. yes, I was sinned against, but also I was responsible in some way mm-hmm. for this mm-hmm. sin against me. And some people just hold on to it. And it's true that that is not even an action that's pleasing to the Lord, because the Lord wants you to have life abundantly. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want you to be covered in shame or tied down to something that happened in your past. Now, some people will say, we're a new creation in Christ. And that's true. We are totally a new creation in Christ. The moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're that new creation. However, if what is in our past is affecting us today, then it's not in our past, right?
Yeah.
It's today. Yeah. Where it's still affecting us today. And so we're not living that abundant life where we're a new creation in Christ, because we're tied to that past. Mm-hmm. But the Lord doesn't want that for us. He wants us to break every chain. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we need to run to Him. That's why it's important for us to learn in a tangible way how to give these things to God, so that we can be totally set free. Mm-hmm. And I like to say that the person we were in Act 1 of our life is not the same person we are today in Act 2 of our life. Mm-hmm. And so there's people that I've seen that are making decisions today in their life for what happened before. Mm-hmm. And they're not walking victorious then. Mm-hmm. I had this one teenage girl, her story just so impacted me. She had made a decision. She wanted to remain pure until her marriage, mm-hmm. right? And then, but she didn't choose her friends wisely. And so her girlfriend had a boyfriend, and they wanted to go hang out at the beach, you know. So her girlfriend, who didn't have that same value, said, "Why don't you come, and my boyfriend's bringing this guy along," right? So they all go to the beach, and then also because she didn't have a plan to remain pure, one, she chose her friends unwisely, and now she's at the beach, and out comes all the beer, and they're going to start drinking and everything. And she's all nervous. So she's drinking, and she's starting to drink too much. Well, pretty soon, her girlfriend and the boyfriend walked off down the beach, and she's alone with this guy. And she's, like, more nervous, so she's drinking even more. Well, one thing led to another. And before she knows it, at school the next day, this guy is telling everybody that he had his way with her. And it just devastated her, because she had wanted to remain pure till her marriage. Well, now the enemy has this total stronghold in her life, and he's using this past sin against her. Instead of her just immediately running to the Lord, giving her hurt and pain to the Lord, and walking victorious and saying, I can now remain pure again till I get married, right? And she just was this person in Act 1 of her life, like, oh my goodness, this happened to me. This now becomes who I am. And that's not who she is. In Christ, she's a totally different person. And so she started living out that way. she found this guy she really liked. Now he's her boyfriend, and he's saying, hey, let's sleep together. And at first she's saying, no, you know, I'd like to wait till my marriage. But then the enemy has a stronghold, mm-hmm. because she has this unhealed sin issue, mm-hmm. in her life. And she's like, you know, well, you slept with that guy, why can't you sleep with this, mm-hmm. guy? Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. So she's like, okay, I'll sleep with my boyfriend. Mm. Come to find out, she was a virgin. Mm. The guy lied the night on the beach.
Wow.
Now she's really devastated. And one thing leads to another, this vicious downward cycle of sin, and more sin. And her life just got out of control, mm-hmm. with sexual promiscuity, because that is who, mm-hmm. she's now thinking she is. Mm-hmm. Until she learned that she could come to Jesus, give all her hurt and pain, and start walking victoriously, wow. in her life. So, wow. yeah, devastating, huh? Yeah.
Well, okay, so now what about people that, you know, it sounds like it could be a capable thing where you just go, yeah, I could just, you know, tell myself that I'm going to leave this at the feet of Christ, and I'm going to go walk as a new creation, but we all know that, you know, it's not that easy.
Right.
You know, sometimes a month later goes by, and those thoughts come back.
Right.
You know, a year later, 2 years later, an anniversary of the time it happened,
exactly.
comes back, and you start reliving it mentally.
Right.
And you're finding yourself back at square one.
Right.
How would you advise somebody to then, what do they do in that situation if they keep on kind of mentally having it come back to them, even though they have left it at the feet of Christ, yet, you know, you can't completely forget the past.
Right. I had this one woman, very intelligent woman, one time I was counseling. And when I was teaching her that concept, you need to leave it at the feet of Jesus, she said something so powerful to me that it became part of the curriculum. And she said, that is not tangible. And so what she was saying is, this is just in my imagination. I can't touch it. I can't feel it as I give these things to Jesus. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. You know, we're told all the time, give that to the Lord, move on with your life. But it's not a tangible. It's more in their imagination. They might imagine themselves giving it to the Lord, but it's not something they can touch and feel. And so because of that, that's why we use the letter writing in the curriculum. Later, we're going to see in session 4 where we ask the people to write a letter, because that's tangible. And we ask them to use the letter in a way that they there's no holding back. If you could say to the person what you want to say, of course, this letter is never going to be mailed or sent because it will cause new problems. This letter is just a tool between you and God. But if you could say everything you wanted to say to that person in a perfect world, and that person said, wow, you know, I am so sorry that I affected you in that way or whatever, mm-hmm. what would you say? No holding back. Because that's tangible. That helps people to see. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are so surprised, mm-hmm. at what's in that letter, mm-hmm. that things go deeper than they, mm-hmm. ever even realize. Mm-hmm. And other things start coming out that go back even further in their, mm-hmm. life with their childhood that actually led up to some of the, mm-hmm. other steps they took in their life. And so that's real tangible. But after that, we don't want them to keep it. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, we also burn the letter then, mm-hmm. because we can watch that rise to the Lord in the smoke. One time my friend was burning it. She lived in Sofia, Bulgaria, and she just had a little apartment. She didn't have a fireplace. So she tore up her letter, really small. It was to her mom, and, you know, her mom had been, like, verbally abusive to her, mm-hmm. all her life. And so it was, like, bunch of pages, and she tears it up and puts it in a baking dish, and she went out on her balcony and she lights this letter on fire, and she said the flames went up to the balcony above her, and she's like, I'm gonna burn that building down. And right then it turned to smoke, and she watched the smoke rise, and she felt the Lord impress upon her heart, that is a fragrant offering, mm-hmm. that I accept. Now that's tangible. She can remember that. Now, that doesn't mean that at her year anniversary or whatever, that these thoughts don't come back. But it's like that stone of remembrance that she's left behind. Because we have that story in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. right? That they were to leave those stones of remembrance, that she can go, no, enemy, I'm not going to take that back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so throughout the curriculum, we're going to address that issue of the tangible way mm-hmm. with the letters in session four. We're going to talk about how the enemy works in our life. We have a whole chapter on that and how not to take those things back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good because, yeah, I think that, you know, from the enemy's perspective, you know, they would, you know, or he would come in and kind of whisper to you like, well, did you really leave that in the past? You know,
right.
like when, you know,
right.
but if you actually go, yeah, I did leave that in the past, that has been left behind, because we would answer in our own minds, no, I'm not going to think of that. I left that in the past.
Right.
You know, and then the enemy would answer, did you?
Right.
You know, like, but just think about it and dwell on it a little bit today instead. But if you could remember back to the moment that you, you know, did this action, sometimes
right.
we need to see it. Like you said, building those stones, building
right.
that stone altar of remembrance of like,
right.
this is what God showed me in my dream, or this is what the action I'm doing to give my past or sin to God. Then you can very easily just silence the enemy and say,
right.
no, it, I did leave it in the past. It's gone. I'm moving on.
Exactly. And then you just go forward. And a lot of times I teach all the time, not a lot of times, it's all the time, that we're not to live by our feelings and our emotions, because feelings are fickle and they change all the time. But we're to live by the truth of God's word. And so having that milestone memory that I gave this to the Lord, and then choosing to walk victoriously
mm-hmm.
and choosing to walk based on who you are in Christ, which is a whole nother session in the curriculum,
mm-hmm.
That's just really important too. And so we
mm-hmm.
teach the people going through the curriculum how to do that in a practical way.
Very cool.
Well, thanks for our session today, Matt. I really enjoyed our time.
I did too. Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, everybody. God bless.
This has been a Go in Peace Leaders discussion topic with Sri Verzonki and myself, Matt Laster, based on the Go in Peace Biblical Discipleship Curriculum. If you would like to join a group of Go in Peace leaders for encouragement, support, and prayer from like-minded disciplers, click on the Facebook group link provided. May God richly bless you as you serve Him.